First of all, I'd like to join the other brethren in welcoming everybody out here this morning. I'm really grateful and thankful for you that you made the decision to be here so we can study another portion of God's Word. Really appreciate all the prayers on my behalf, and it's my prayer that the things we study are in strict accordance to God's Word and also easy for you to understand so you can use them through the rest of your lives to the best of your ability. For the title of the lesson this morning, it's going to be Tolerance. And I'll have the verses on the screen behind me, and I'll encourage you to follow along with those or with the Bible that you have. You know, many people tell us today not to judge others and just to accept them for who they are. They'll tell us that we all have sin in our lives, and who are we to tell them that they're doing wrong? And they'll tell us that God loves everyone all the same, and God doesn't want anybody to perish. So it doesn't matter what sin they have in their life or what sin we have in our life, that we're all going to go to heaven. There's not going to be any bad things come along. And that we should just take them for who they are because that's just the way that they are. So they tell us not to judge them. And when they tell us that, they tell us to accept everything. So I want to look at that a little bit this morning and see what the Bible has to say about this word tolerance. And to start off, when I first started studying this, I was looking for the word tolerance, and I was using ESORT, and I was doing searches for the word tolerance or tolerate or tolerated or anything. Just couldn't find it anywhere. Couldn't find this word anywhere in the whole Bible. So that should give us a little indication of what God thinks about the word tolerance. But let's study a little bit further and see what it has to say. You know, if we first look about sin, which is what we're going to be talking about, and tolerating sin, let's see what God says about sin to begin with. If you look in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that follow after righteousness." Also in the same chapter in verse 26, it says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." So it tells us here in Proverbs, the way and the thoughts of the wicked or sin are an abomination. This word abomination means it makes God sick to his stomach. He detests it, can't stand it. Also in Proverbs chapter 6, reading verse 16 through 19, it tells us, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." All these can be classified going back to sin. And it tells us that God hates them. He hates it. And he tells us in Psalms chapter 1 what's going to happen with those who sin. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." It's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to total destruction. And we have that all sin leads to death. We get that in the book of James chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So it told us back in Proverbs chapter 15 that he hates the ways and he hates the thoughts of the wicked. And here in James it tells us that lust, when it's conceived, lust would be like a thought you have of something. When it conceives, when you act upon it, it brings forth sin. And that sin, when it's finished, is going to bring forth death. So even the thoughts will eventually lead towards death and to perishing. So that's how God feels about sin. And he tells us that sin is wrong. Sounds like to me, just in the verses we read, that God doesn't tolerate it. He will not tolerate sin, and he will not stand for it. So if God doesn't tolerate it, then why do people say that we should be tolerant of it? Why do people say that we should be okay with who they are if God's not? Well, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading verse 1 through 6, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort they are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. So it tells us here that they have all this sin in their lives in this perilous times, and I'm here to tell you that these perilous times that they're talking about is now. It's happening. All these people that, you know, they're proud, they're blasphemers, they're unthankful, they're unholy, they're truth breakers, you can't trust them. All these things are happening right now, and it says that they have a form of godliness. They may portray that they're godly. And they may portray that you should follow after them because what they're doing is the right thing. It said, but they deny the power of God. So these things are happening now. So why do these people say that it's okay for us to tolerate these things that they have in their life? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading 3 through 4, says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." So we just read the chapter before where it's talking about all these ungodly things in these people's lives. And now it's telling us that they're not going to endure sound doctrine because they want to find their own teachers. They want to find their own teachers who are going to tell them the things that they want to hear. Well, those times are now. You can look all over TV, all over the internet, everywhere, that people will follow teachers who tell them what they want to hear. It's all over the place. It says that they turn from the truth so that they can turn to fables. Don't tell me the truth, just tell me what I want to hear. Well, a lot of times they don't want to hear the truth and they only want to hear a part of it. They only want to hear the parts of the truth that make sense to them, that's easy to hear, that won't convict them. And we have an example of that in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, reading verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." So this verse is saying that you don't have to worry about God fulfilling his promise. He'll take care of you because God loves you, and he's long-suffering to you. He's patient to you, and he's not willing that any should perish. Now, this is only part of the verse, but this is part of the verse that sounds really good. Sounds really pleasing, that nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to have hard times come their way because God loves everybody. Well, let's finish the verse. It says, "But that all should come to repentance." God is not willing that any should die. God wants everybody to repent of their sins so that he doesn't have to slay anybody, so that doesn't have to hold out his wrath on them. And then we go back to the first of the verse that he's not slack concerning his promise on the wrath either. He will take wrath on the wicked. So this is an example of how we can twist verses to make them say what we want them to say. To make them sound good, sound pleasing. To make them sound like God tolerates your sin because everyone has sin in their life. Now, if we look at this word long-suffering and forbearing can be interchangeable. They both mean to be patient with someone. So we get this confused a lot of the times with long-suffering or with forbearing, and we interchange that with the word tolerance, and they're not the same thing. If we look at the definition, the word forbear or long-suffering means to be patient or self-controlled with. It means to have a future expectation of change. When you're working with someone, you're expecting a difference in the future than the way it is now. That's to be patient with someone. The word tolerate means to allow the existence, presence, practice, or act of without prohibition or hindrance, to permit. That's no future expectation of change. So we can't interchange the word tolerate and forbearance. Forbearance means I'm going to be patient with you while I'm working with you to correct your problem. Tolerate means you can do whatever you want, I'm not going to try to stop you. So there are two completely different words. One thing I want to point out is, you know, this idea of tolerance and this idea of having itching ears and telling me things I want to hear, it's nothing new. It's been around for a long time. We have an example of that in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 30, reading verses 8 through 10, it says, "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. So God is telling us in the book of Isaiah, he told him to write it in a book so it may be noted forever. So it may be noted for you and I that this was the same back then as it is now. When people would go to the seers and they would go to the prophets and say, don't tell us the truth. Don't tell us things that may convict us or may hurt us, but tell us things that are smooth. Tell us things that are easy to hear, that are easy to understand, that we want to know. So it's been around for a long time. We have another example of that in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, beginning in 13 through 14, it says, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They have prophesied in Baal and have caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. So God tells us that these prophets, what they're doing is they're changing his words to fit people what they want to hear. And he says that they're doing so that they're strengthening the hands of the evildoers. Those things that you're doing evil, just keep doing them because it's okay. And that they're going to do it so much that those people cannot even return from their wickedness. And how does he relate these prophets in Jerusalem? What does he relate them to? He relates them to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know about Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't the best place to be when God rained his wrath on them. And that's how he compares them to this. So this is how God looks at the prophets. And that they were doing the same thing back then. If you go down a little bit further in verse 17, it says, They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. This is what the prophets were saying. And they even said that God said to tell you this. God said that everything's okay. Everything's all fine and dainty, that you don't have to worry about the sin in your life. Don't worry about any evil thing come upon you. This is what the prophets were doing back then. We know prophets doing the same thing today, or they would call themselves prophets. We know people saying this in front of large crowds, saying this to everybody they come into contact with. Don't worry about your faults and your sins in your life. God is tolerant of them. God won't cause any evil thing to come upon you. We know what's going on. And this is the same thing happening today as it was back then. So how does God respond to these prophets? And in turn, how should we respond to these people? If we go down a little bit further in Jeremiah, in 23 through 26, it says, am I a God, a hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. So God reassures us that he sees everything, and he is everywhere. He knows what's going on. He sees these people telling them and prophesying lies in his name. He knows that they're doing this. He says that they're prophets after the deceit of their own heart, meaning they prophesy the things they want to prophesy so they can get a bigger crowd following them and doing the things that they would say. If you continue a little bit further in verse 30 through 32, God again saying, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. God says he's against these prophets. The ones who go in and said, God said this. God said you'll have all this peace. No hard times will come against you. Those who prophesy false dreams, God is against them. God says they will not stand. God says those prophets are not profiting these people. They're not helping these people. They're hurting them. They're leading them down a wicked road, and he's against it. So likewise, if God is against it, don't you think we should be against it? You know, we are representatives of God. When you chose to give your life up for God in baptism and you chose you would live for him, that's what you were doing. You chose to be a representative of God for the rest of your life. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7 and 8 says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." We are God's people. If you wear the name Christian this morning, you are God's people. And you represent God here on earth. We can't see God. We can't physically see him. And nobody else can either. They can see us as his representatives. We can share them God's word. And likewise, he was against the prophets. You and I should be against the prophets as well. So this is how we should respond to those who say we should be tolerant. To those who say that we should accept them for who they are. You know, God also tells us not to justify the sinner, which is really easy to do sometimes. Proverbs 17, verse 15 says that he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. It's really easy to justify the sinner, isn't it? It's really easy for us to say, like, yeah, they've got this problem in their life, they got this sin in their life, but, you know, they're really a good person. They do a lot for the community. They do all these great things that it'll be okay. That they're such a nice person. That's justifying the wicked. And in Proverbs, it tells us that if we justify the wicked, we're in the same state. Now we're both an abomination to God. Instead of just the sinner being an abomination to God, you're right there with them. You make God sick to his stomach as well. So don't justify the sinner. In 2 Timothy, we have a step-by-step playbook of what we should do when this time happens. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading verse 1 through 5. Says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So in verse 2, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he simply tells him, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Well, what does that really mean? What does that mean to be instant in season, to be instant out of season? You know, if we look at it, this word instant means to stand upon, if you look in the Strong's. So preach the word and stand upon it. And then if we look at what in season and out of season means, well, in season simply means when it's convenient. And out of season means when it's not convenient. So if we go back and translate that using these words, it says, preach the word, stand upon that word when it's convenient, and stand upon that word when it's not convenient. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not always convenient. But Paul tells us, just stand upon the word of God. Let the word of God do the work for you. So this is what we should do. The time is here when people won't listen to the truth. It says that they have itching ears. They're going to find themselves the teachers that tell them what they want to hear. We have that, and we know it's true. Our response is to stand upon the word of God and teach them the word of God. You know, while we're doing this with people, keep in mind that it's not always easy for them. It's not always easy for us, especially when it's time to admit we're wrong. And it's the same goes for them. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world." If you look at every sin, everything, it comes back to these three things. It's the lust of the flesh, it's the lust of the eyes, and it's the pride of life. Especially the pride of life. It's very hard to admit you're wrong because the pride that Satan puts in our hearts. So keep that in mind when we're telling people that we are being forbearing with them. We are being long-suffering them. We are not tolerating their sin. But be long-suffering and forbearing with them to help them change and to get rid of that pride. We also need to make sure that we do not associate ourselves with sin. Ephesians 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So we need to be working with these people and do not fellowship with their sin. You have to talk to these people, and you have to show these people that you love them, that you care about them, and the way out of their wickedness. But you cannot associate yourself with that wickedness. It says, instead of associating with the wickedness, reprove them. Well, that word reprove simply means to tell a fault. Tell somebody that they are wrong. It does not say tell them things they want to hear. Don't be tolerant of them. Tell them what they're doing is against God's word. And also, while we're doing this and while we're working with people, let's let the word of God do the heavy lifting for us. So many times we want to take it upon ourselves. Or so many times we want to say, we can't go do that because then they're not going to like me. Well, just use the word of God. And let the word of God do the work for you. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness." It's profitable for you and for me, and it's profitable for those who want us to be tolerant of their sin, which we're not going to be. The word of God is not tolerant of their sin, so let's not be tolerant of their sin as well. You know, I said at the first that many people tell us that that's just the way they are. Sometimes people will go even so far to say, well, that's how God made me. And I'm here to tell you, God did not make any of us to sin. And he won't give any of us a temptation that we can't overcome. But that's many times an excuse that we come across. That's just the way I am. You know, just accept me for who I am and I'll accept you for who you are and let's just go on with life. You know, when people tell us that, people tell us that that's just the way they are, essentially, what they're doing is they're giving up on themselves to be better. They're giving up on themselves to have a better future, to be a better Christian. I'm here to tell you this morning that if we allow that, if we allow them to say that, and we say, okay, I'll accept you for who you are, we're giving up on that person as well. So don't give up on people. If they want you to be tolerant of their lifestyle, don't do it. Don't give up on their soul. Because God doesn't give up on their soul. You know, we all need to be long-suffering with working with someone. I hope that has been clear this morning. We need to be patient with them. We need to help them overcome their mistakes. And we definitely do not need to be tolerant. We do not tolerate sin and the works of Satan. We should expect a future change in that individual's behavior and rebuke the sin. Expect a change. They should expect a change. You know, God is able to forgive and cleanse any sin for those who repent and decide to wash it away. He tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but he wants us all to repent. We need to be spreading that word. We need to be spreading the word that God wants you to repent so he doesn't have to cause perish upon you. We should make sure that everyone has the opportunity to know about him and his ways more perfectly. Everyone. Especially those that we don't agree with their lifestyle. Because they need to know the way of God. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." We were all the servants of sin. Some of you this morning here still may be servants of sin. Says that we've obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered us. Somebody took the time and somebody had enough patience with us to help us overcome this being a servant of sin. To help us overcome this lifestyle of being wrong. And they did that without tolerating our sin. They helped show us our mistakes and find out where we were flawing and where we were going wrong and how to get back on the right path. We were all in that case. So now we need to spread that wealth with other people. We need to spread that wealth without tolerating their sin, and be long-suffering with them, be patient with them, and help them to fix their mistakes. You know, if you're here this morning and you're tolerating sin in your own life, meaning that you haven't been baptized to wash away that sin, and you would like to take care of that this morning, or you have been baptized and you've been falling back into the trap of tolerating your own sin, or tolerating sin of others, and you would like to help change yourself, and you would like to help change that of others, if you would like the prayers of the church, or you would like to get rid of that sin that we will not tolerate any longer, we ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front pew while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.